Numbers 26. The message today is Zelophehad's daughters. I could read to you from a portion in 1 Chronicles, but if I read it to you, it would only consist of three words. The book of Chronicles gives us three words about Zelophehad, and these are the words. Zelophehad had daughters. You say, well, that's not much information. How many of you have ever heard until last week about Zelophehad? You have. How many times do you think it might occur in the Bible? But we'll see. Turn to Numbers 26. You'll find that there are five references to Zelophehad and his daughters. And what I want to do is to read from chapter to chapter so that after today you will say, I know all about Zelophehad's daughters. So starting in Numbers 26. Numbers 26. Look at verse 33. And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons but daughters. And the names of his daughters were Mahlah and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Now, chapter 27. They are only introduced to us that way in chapter 26. But in 27, verse 1, then drew near the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes of all the congregation at the door of the tent of meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and he was not among the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but he died in his own sin, and he had no sins. Why should the name of our father be taken away from among the family because he had no son? Give unto us a possession among the brethren of our father. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them. Now chapter 36. Verse 1. And the heads of the fathers' houses of the family of the children of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes, the heads of the fathers' houses of the children of Israel. And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any other of the sons of other tribes of the children of Israel, then will their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of our father, and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they shall belong. So will it be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall be, then will their inheritance be added unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they shall belong. So will their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our fathers. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, saying, the tribe of the sons of Joseph speaketh right. This is the thing which the Lord doth command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, now grasp this, young ladies, let them be married to whom they think best, only into the family of the tribe of their father shall they be married. So shall no inheritance of the children of Israel be removed from tribe to tribe, for the children of Israel shall cleave every one to the inheritance of his tribe. Now, look at verse 10. Even as the Lord commanded Moses, so did the daughters of Zelophehad. And this is why you're without excuse not knowing them. For Mahlah, Tirzah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, were married unto their father's brother's sons. They were married into the families of the sons of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of the family of their father. Well, that's the end of it? No. Joshua 17. Starting at verse 3. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. And these are the names of the daughters of Zelophehad: Mahlah and Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. And there fell 10 parts to Manasseh, besides the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the land of Gilead belonged unto the rest of the sons of Manasseh. Now, let us speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the portions that we've read. We pray that the fullness of instruction contained in these passages shall not be wasted upon us, but from now on we shall know ever so much about the daughters of Zelophehad. So by thy Spirit prepare our hearts to receive and understand, and empower the lips of thy servant to speak, we pray. We thank you for this day and ask thy blessing upon us. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If the name of Zelophehad had only occurred, as I told you in 1 Chronicles, we would be without excuse not knowing about Zelophehad. But when God tells you 5 times and gives you every name time after time after time after time, what excuse do we have for not knowing about the daughters of Zelophehad, who they are, what their names mean. What brother can tell me even the meaning of one of the names of the daughters of Zelophehad? So intense and so full, God tells us, but we know so little about it. But these daughters are commendable as the daughters of Job were commended. But it says this concerning the daughters of Job. It said, in all the land, there were none so fair as the daughters of Job. And so concerning Job's daughters, they were beautiful. And that is a good thing. But I would choose the characteristics of the daughters of Zelophehad above the beauty that is told us about the daughters of Job. Why? Because sooner or later you'll understand about character. What is inside of a young lady is much more important than how she looks outwardly. At times, the outward appearance will destroy her. But if a young lady is just an ordinary appearance, but she has all the qualities of the daughters of Zelophehad, she would be the one that a spiritual child of God would want to marry. The flesh goes after the eye. You look upon the things of the flesh, but God looks upon the heart. And the hearts of these daughters of Zelophehad, this is a commendable thing, and I want you to understand it. First of all, the commandment concerning parents is this: honor thy father and thy mother. And here is Zelophehad, and he has five daughters, and these daughters are determined to honor their father. They come and they say, we want an inheritance. Why should the name of our father be eradicated, forgotten? Nobody will know anything about it. Because he only had daughters and not sons. How many of you young ladies would say, I want my father's name to be remembered forever? I do not want it to pass away because he happened to have daughters and not sons. That is the strength of these young ladies. And this, how many of you, if you had four sisters, would be in full agreement with them? I've seen some that have one sister, and they are fighting with one another. There is jealousy. But these daughters, as a unit, gather together, and think of the courage. They go before Moses. They go before the high priest. They go before the princes of Israel, and they say, we want to lay our cause before you. Few of us would have that much courage. And yet, they did. And they did it because they wanted their father remembered. Honor thy father and thy mother. And they said, we want our father remembered. But now, because he only had daughters, should he be forgotten? Should his name not be mentioned in Israel? Because there's no son to carry on his name? And Moses said this, I will go, and I will ask the Lord concerning this thing. Here is a principle you must understand. We have the Bible. But the Bible that we have was not given to us all at one time. The truths contained in this book were not given to us all at one time. And the truth for the children of Israel was not given to them in anticipation of what's going to happen concerning all things. But what God allows to happen in our lives is this: for a problem to arise because of a situation like that of Zelophehad. He has no sons but daughters. Well, I've told you who is to inherit the land of Israel. I've told you the sons are to inherit the land of Israel. And the daughters of Zelophehad say, our father had no sons. What are we going to do about that? Now, some would push them aside and silence them. But Moses said, I will take it to God. And listen to what God says. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Give them an inheritance. And so a new principle is laid down in the teachings of the Word of God before these, because these five daughters of Zelophehad have courage and have thought through the situation and come before Moses and all the authorities and lay their case before him. But notice, they are not like the women today that demand their rights. They simply say, this is the situation. What should be done about it? And the problem is taken before God, and God gives them the solution. How often do men forget what God might say? Do not inquire of God when a problem arises. But these girls bring it to Moses, and Moses brings it to God, and think that what you've done is spoken of God from heaven. All the things that these girls have said are right. Do this. How commendable. So often we go and insist on things before God, and God is disappointed. We ask for things. We behave in such a way, and God is ashamed of us. But these young ladies have thought through the situation, and they reverently, but with courage, come before all the authorities and say, what should be done? And Moses asks God, and God says, what they say is right. Give them an inheritance. All right. We've gone that far. But do you not realize this? While all these young ladies are so happy because they're going to have an inheritance, their father is going to be remembered, another problem arises. And it's this. This time, they have not thought through the problem that arises, but the tribe from which they are taken, the leaders of that tribe understand it, and they say this. Inasmuch as the inheritance is given to the sons, if these daughters marry into another tribe, then the husband, that is of the tribe of Judah or Zebulun or Issachar, if they marry these daughters, when the year of Jubilee comes, then that which belonged to the tribe of Manasseh shall be taken and given to another tribe, and our father's inheritances shall be reduced. And so that is another problem. And so, again, the matter is taken before God. And this is what God says. Yes, that's true. This is what is to be done. Let the daughters of Zelophehad marry anyone they will, but only from their own tribe. Now think of this, young ladies. You have looked upon a handsome man that you want to be your husband, and you intend to accept his proposal of marriage, but he is of a different tribe. And you were so happy when what you asked for was granted to you, and your father received an inheritance. But when you did that, think. You have 12 tribes of Israel from which you could choose a husband. But when you made that request, God said, I'm taking away 11 of those tribes from which you can choose a husband, and you can only have one. How would you like that? You would say, I don't like that at all. My chances of marriage are reduced, and I may not get the one that I want, the one of my choosing. That's right. But God says, this is what is to be done. The request that the tribe of Manasseh asks is right. Now think of this. Did you not rejoice when God said, daughters of Zelophehad, what you ask is right? You say, good. But then someone comes and asks something else of God, and God says, what they ask is right, and now it cuts into all the privilege of choice that you have. How would you like that? You say, I would not like it. But what is commendable about these daughters of Zelophehad is this, that they accepted from God not only that which enriched them and made them joyful, but at the same time would reduce them and remove from their power of choice 11 of the 12 tribes of Israel. But they accepted that. And the only way that they could get around the problem that arose is this. They had to marry someone from the tribe of Manasseh, from which Zelophehad descended. But more than that, they had to keep his inheritance in his own house, and therefore they had to marry the sons of his father's brothers. What does that mean? It means that they had to marry their first cousins. And therefore, if Zelophehad had three brothers, and they had five sons, then you girls would only have five to choose from. Do you see the difficulty that you got into? So you got an inheritance for your father. Yes. Well, that inheritance has to stay within the tribe of Manasseh. Yes. And that means that you have to marry not anybody that you choose, but your choice is reduced to just those that are your first cousins. You say, my life is ruined. No. Do you understand that what is so commendable about these daughters of Zelophehad is that they accepted every restriction that God said was right, and they abode by it. Now, I wonder if you young ladies are prepared to do that. Do you understand that God says to all of you who are his children, you may marry whomsoever you please, only in the Lord. That means that if you go to school and there are these attracted young men and you know that they are not saved, God says to you, you can't marry them. But they have qualities. There are good things about them. God says, they are not saved. You are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now the daughters of Zelophehad would say, yes, Lord. And how many young ladies have I seen that disregard anything that God says? That the parents, and you parents tell your children these things, that if they are going out with those that are unsaved, why would you allow such a thing? Do you not know what's going to happen? Do you not understand that the temptation might be so great that what God forbids, the lust of the flesh, would supersede, and they would go and be joined to this one? And therefore, the qualities of the daughters of Zelophehad would not be found in you. That's why I am proud of these young ladies, and I'm so ashamed of many of the children of God. And it pertains to you young men as well. Why would you young men look at an attractive, unsaved girl and say, I want that woman? You remind me of Samson. Samson was to have nothing to do with the heathen. But he set his lustful heart upon a foreign woman, and his parents said, no. But Samson said, get her for me. She pleases me well. That sounds like the young people I know today, the young men, and I'm afraid the young women as well. And so that is why, if you happen to be in all the land, like the daughters of Job, none fairer. But you made mistakes. I would set you aside. And I would look at the daughters of Zelophehad that may be of ordinary appearance. And I would say, those are the young women that I would choose. And all of you fathers, if your daughters have those qualities, and they go and only look for men of God that believe the way God would have them to believe, and they marry those men that will carry on the things of God, then your heart will rejoice. But if you've given your daughters freedom to do what they choose, and they bring an unsaved man into the family, then they've started their life in disobedience to God. They are unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, and God is disappointed. And I hope your parents are disappointed. And they look, and you have no promise after that that this young man will ever be saved. Oh, that's the excuse. I know. He's going along with me. I've told him the things of the Lord, and he's going to get saved. This is what Paul says concerning that. He said, how do you know whether you shall win your husband? How do you know that you shall win your wife? Do you know that? How many of you know that if you marry an unsaved partner, he's going to get saved later on? Of course you don't. And you have no right for that. And it speaks of a year of jubilee. That's when things are going to be separated. And I want you to understand this. All of you who may be married to an unsaved man, you may go with him through life. And only last week, I saw a couple that had been married for 80 years. If you have lived with your partner that long, and your partner is unsaved, when that partner dies, and when you die, you are going to be in heaven and he's going to be in hell. And you'll never see that partner again. And though in heaven they neither marry nor given are given in marriage, yet you will look in vain for that man that you lived with, and you did not impart to him the spiritual blessings that God gave to you. And you will think in heaven for the rest of your life that this man that I spent my life with, it was not one of harmony and fellowship, a dual enjoyment of the Lord, but instead, it was one that I enjoyed the things of the flesh, but now he's gone. And I in heaven are probably there with nothing but ashes to show for your life. Why? Because if you build wood, hay, and stubble, the fire consumes it, and all you've got to give to God is a handful of ashes. But the daughters of Zelophehad would have hands full of gold to give to God. Obedience, enjoyment in life with one that is of my own tribe. This is what God would have us to understand. And that is why the daughters of Zelophehad are so commendable. Now, let me say one thing about Zelophehad. Either he or his mother gave the daughters names that might be good, but they might be bad. Young ladies, which name would you like? Mala, Noah, Hogla, Milka, or Tirzah? Which name do you like? You say, well, I like the name of the sound Mala. Mala, that's a nice sound. Do you know what it means? It means sickness. And so if you gave your daughter that name all through life, the daughter would come up to a young man she's interested in, and he would say, what is your name? And she would say, my name is Sickness. What an impression that would make. But it may have been this. So often, what happened at birth was the name given. And so this child, because Malan always occurs first in the names. Four times they occur, three times identical, one time different. But Mahlon always occurs first. And so when that little one was born, the little thing may have been sickly, and so they called her Mahlon. Why? Because she was sickly. Do you know that Jacob means the supplanter? They gave him that name because of what he was doing when he was born. And so let's try the next one. Mahlon, Noah. That means rest. That would be good. Mahlon, Noah, Hogla. You say, I don't know about that name, Hogla. It's a beautiful name. It means partridge. And so she's a little bird. And so they gave her the name Hogla. And then the word Mahlon, Noah, Hogla, Milcah. Now you would like that because the word Milcah means queen. You say, yes, I like that name. And also Tirzah. That's a good name. That means delightsome. And so here are the five daughters of Zelophehad. But it may be that the little sickly one, Mahlon, may have had been the one that encouraged the others to go and take their stand, to ask for the things of God. And so all of them, and this is what is commendable, that they unitedly took their stand. Because I've seen some Christians, and you know what is right should be done, but you ask them, will you go with me? They'll say, no, I'm not going with you. I'm not going to do that. All of those girls unitedly went, and they were standing for the things of God, and their request was granted. And think of this. How many of you, if you had five daughters, every one of them would say, I'm not going to marry an unsaved man. I'm waiting until God sends into my life someone that is saved. I'm waiting for God's choice. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. All five of these daughters waited until God sent them the right man. And that is why I'm so proud of these daughters of Zelophehad. Now I want to tell you something interesting that happened to me. It says that a preacher brings things out of his treasure, things new and old. To the best of my knowledge, I preached this message again, once before, 40 years ago. And so if you preach a message twice in 40 years, that's not overdoing it, is it? And it just came to mind because I was talking to two preachers the other day, and they didn't know about the daughters of Zelophehad, but I hope they do now, and you know about it. And what happened, I was preaching in Durham, and one of the elders came to me and said, I want you to meet someone you led to the Lord 40 years ago. I said, what? He said, yes. You were speaking on the daughters of Zelophehad, and he got saved. I said, introduce him to me. And so here is someone that I led to the Lord, and I never knew it. I have a spiritual son, and this is what happened. He was unsaved, and he was going with one of the young ladies from the meeting in Augusta, and she was saved, and she said, I'm having nothing to do with you unless you trust Christ as Savior. And he heard about the daughters of Zelophehad and how they had to marry only those of like faith, like tribe. And he said, the only way I'm going to get this woman is if I trust her Savior as my Savior. And he heard this message on the daughters of Zelophehad, and he said, I'm trusting Christ as Savior. And then he went in and he said, I'm saved, and now will you marry me? And the young lady said, yes. Now that is beautiful. She took her stand, and God, of all things, had me to give this message. Have you ever heard a sermon on the daughters of Zelophehad in your whole life? Of course not. And I was a young man telling them all of these things 40 years ago. And I told them those things, and the truth, not the gospel, but the demands of the gospel, struck the heart of this young man, and he trusted Christ, and then proposed to this daughter of Zelophehad, and they got married. And an additional thing, he is now in the Lord's work, a missionary. And so, children of God, pattern your lives after the daughters of Zelophehad, and your father will be proud of you, and I will be proud of you, and the blessing of the Lord will give blessing and no regret. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have told us to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. We look at so many of yours in the Bible that are disobedient, but we are thankful that on occasion we can find one, and now we find five that together do your will. They're willing to accept the limitations of life because you have said, this is the way my children should live. So impress upon the hearts of the young ladies here and the young men the demands of God upon their lives. And Father, in the coming day, may they be looked upon as those who have done the will of God, and they will have no sorrows, no regrets, but joys. Bless the young men and women, and fathers and mothers, may all of us, our Father, experience Zelophehad and his daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.